can turn the world on with a smile. You can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile. What a secret, and you should know it. Each glance and every little movement you show it.
Love is all around,
no need to fake it.
You can never tell,
why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all. Oh my God, my t-shirt's wet. Good morning, everybody. It's me, Rose, and I'm sorry if the sound on this is, well, come on, you know what the sound is usually like with me. Not the best, but I thought I could sneak in talking to the air without Millie noticing, but nope. She has decided that it is playtime. Millie and I have a little routine here. For the first few hours of the day, it's playtime mixed with window time. And then usually between noon and two, she goes into my bedroom and from the floor crawls up onto the bed, but does it by scooting underneath of the quilt. Like she finds that little lair path and she sleeps like the dead for a she's been there sometimes for like 10 hours. Like I worry that she's going to get bed sores or something. She just sleeps so much and it's really hot and she's under a quilt and I'll pull it up every now and then to check on her to make sure that she hasn't crossed over the rainbow bridge. Why do they call it that when animals die, the rainbow bridge? I just heard that term this morning with the weather lady who's leaving our local channel. I'm going to miss weather gal Sal. Boy, you know, I'm so glad that I'm meandering all over the place. I'm also doing laundry, which is why my t-shirt is wet. When I went into the laundry room this morning, there was a sign warning about one of the washing machines that the spin and rinse cycle doesn't work, so your clothes will be soapy and soggy. And that's a very helpful sign, and it even had the date on it. It's been busted since June 17th. But unfortunately, that sign was not on any actual machine. It was on the floor, kind of wet, in front of the middle machine. So I didn't know if it meant that machine. I didn't know if it had drifted down from another machine. I didn't know if maybe the problem had been resolved and somebody's just a litter bug and didn't clean up. I don't know. That's a lot of questions. Like at 6:30 in the morning. That's right, I'm doing my fucking laundry at 6:30 on a Friday morning. Well, okay, it's later now. It's 8 o'clock now. Oh, let's not have a time report, shall we? It's bad enough that we're talking chores. Fuck off. And there's a fly. Good Lord, this morning. TGIF. Okay. So anyway, there are a lot of questions in the laundry room and a lot of lint balls. Seriously, there's a giant metal trash can. It's fucking huge. It's bigger than any trash can that you shoot baskets in at home, and yet you can't manage to put your lint in there. Even worse, you can't fucking scoop out the lint after you've done your own laundry. Nobody wants to be touching your man ball lint or your baby underwear lint, or whatever other kind of gross varieties of lint there could be from somebody else's disgusting fashion choices. Nobody wants to be touching that shit. So I chose to use the machine on the left in the whole slot machine options of laundry. And I went to go get it to put into the dryer. One of the dryers is only being held closed with masking tape, by the way. Or duct tape. Yeah. I'm sure that's safe. I'm sure that's, you know, I'm sure that's not just going to, like, somehow keep running and the heat's going to explode and the laundry room is right across from my patio, so the water heater there will explode and it'll catch on fire to the shrub that's on the other side of my patio, and then it'll spread straight into my apartment and it's going to be like backdraft and I'll die all singed without ever having gotten back to Paris. That's not going to happen. So I went to go get my clothes to put in the dryer there, and I picked the broken machine.
Now, things didn't seem sudsy. I'll find out when I wear the clean underwear, and if my cooch gets irritated, then I'll know, hey, them suds in them, they're drawers. But as it is, some of the clothes were fucking, there was just like a puddle of water by the time, like, you're pulling stuff out, and the top stuff doesn't seem wetter than normal, because frankly, sometimes that machine has left my clothes drier than normal after a wash. You know, if we're going to sit down and like really hash this out, and I'm glad we can take the time to do so, thank you for this. Thank you, my brothers and sisters. We all love clean clothes. Most of us hate doing laundry. Some of us hate doing it so much that we feel like a goddamn hero just for doing it. And then when it fucks up, it fucks up. And it's on a day when you're also out of food stamp money and you're really trying to just stick to a very rigid financial plan so my food stamps don't kick in until tomorrow. And really all I want to do is like go get donuts to cope with this or get myself some kind of treat because I'm a fucking hero because my underwear is clean. Maybe a little too clean. Maybe next time I go walking in the heat and get my usual swamp crotch, like suds are just going to start emanating from the sides of my underwear and just soaking the front of my whatever I'm wearing at the time. That's right. I sweat a lot in my crotch. My armpits don't really sweat. My head sweats and my crotch sweats a lot. What is up with that? Anyway, so there I was squeezing up the excess water from my clothes, because as it got to the bottom of the machine, that's where I saw that there is water lingering, and so in the squeezing of the wet clothes, I wet my own t-shirt. What t-shirt am I wearing, you might ask? Fine, maybe you might not ask. That's your choice. I'm not gonna, hey, you know, you can be free speech without being alt-right. You know, it is possible. You can be free speech without being that fucking asshole from the Dickies. Am I going to go into that? I don't know. Maybe not. Google it. Who cares? The t-shirt that I'm wearing is by this all-female heavy rock band. That's rock, R-A-W-K, in all capital letters with the full devil signs. Thank you very much. This all-lady heavy rock bass called Bottom. And it has their logo, which is like the guitar bridges, you know, where you put your fingers on, doodly doo 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 doo, the stems on the guitar, you know. The stems on the guitar, the flowering guitar. It has that in like a cross, and then it has a heart on it with like, you know, arrows going through the heart. And it says Bottom, heavy as fuck. That's the t-shirt that I'm wearing. I'm wearing my Bottom heavy as fuck t-shirt because it's laundry day and now it's a little bit damp and I have no idea what's up for the future of my crotch. Is I have a singular crotch. Maybe I don't. Maybe that's why it's so sweaty. Maybe there's like a secret one. Maybe there's a secret garden in my secret garden. And I'll have you know that I also, during that entire little thing, during our little morning laundry talk, I tuckered out Millie because I was playing with her little wire toy that makes her jump around. And now she's taking the knee. She's on the carpet taking the knee. Oh, no. We might be having round two. Well, you know, we don't need a play-by-play on my pussy, do we? No, it sweats a lot. Thank you. Boom! Callback or something. I don't know. Oh, my God, Sanchez. So this whole episode is going to be a response to Sanchez's episode. Now, to Sanchez's episodes, because yesterday, I was originally going to do this, but I had the playtime with Millie, and I made my breakfast, and then I got totally sucked into watching G20 protests live on YouTube. Yeah. And I'm very sorry if it sounds like my throat is coked with caulk or something equally gross. It's my throat is coked with caulk and taffy. But I'm drinking iced coffee, and you know, there's a little milky milk in there. Actually, no, it's Vanilla International Coffee. cream or something, whatever. Okay, so your mom, Sanchez. Oh, so yeah, I was going to originally record this yesterday, and then, like I said, I got sucked into the G20 protests, which, you know, that was, like, the first good news I've seen in a while. It was just seeing, like, tens of thousands, possibly 100,000 people came out yesterday. Not all just specifically against Trump. There's always major protests whenever there's a G whatever number conference going on. Go look at the battle in Seattle. But certainly the fact that Trump is involved really amped up things. And it just, you know, when you're in the middle of this burning garbage dump, you forget about that you have allies in the rest of the world. I mean, you know, you've got allies in the rest of the world. Everybody thinks Trump is insane except his minions. But yeah, it just did my heart good to see that many protesters out there. And European protests tend to be, can be very awesome, beautiful street theater. I will try to remember to post a link on my Twitter account, at Rose Standalone, of this beautiful protest of these people who were dressed like they were made of cement or clay, just slowly walking down the street. It's a not safe for work video. You'll see titties eventually. There's always titties. So I got sucked into the G20 protests, and then after that, I got sucked into the Big Brother live feeds. Speaking of titties, it's such a gross word. It was so weird, though, hearing one of the girls, like, referring to her own girls, if you will, that way. Like, yeah, my titties plopped out or something, I don't know. I gotta say, okay, let's just take a drive down Trash Alley for a second, shall we? Yeah, you know? This isn't gonna be a book club talk today. Nope. Is there anybody else that watches Big Brother still besides me? Probably not. If you do, let me know on Twitter at Rose Standalone. Because I'd like to know that I'm not the only weirdo. But this fucking cast this season is the best one that they've had in years. And it's been insane in that it feels like half a season has already been played in 1 week. Like, usually in the beginning of the season, it's just kind of more social game. There's no big blow-ups. There's no big drama. There's no huge scheming. There's no backstabbing. But there has been all of that this first week, as well as somebody's already left the house because she just couldn't handle it. She's got wicked-ass PTSD. And somebody else has broken her foot. And then just the personality, like all the cast members are really interesting personalities and not what you would expect. For example, there's this guy, Mark, who is a huge bodybuilder looking guy, like huge, like, you know, arms the size of thighs with no gap whatsoever. Just like huge. Like, you just look at him and go like, oh, he's all roided out. And he's like one of those, you know, tan shower laundry dudes or whatever the fucking Jersey Shore thing was. But instead, he is super emo because both of his parents are dead. And he's so articulate about his emotions. It's stunning. It's just, he's a giant sweet bear, but he just looks like a fucking meathead. And he's having a showmance with some girl on there who's also smart and has huge cans, but his best friend, like one of his best friends in the house now, is this African-American woman, and for once, Big Brother isn't doing the whole, like, oh, we're only going to have black people on the cast to, like, make them look crazy, because that's going to be, like, our little micro-racism. Like, no, and the other black guy in the cast is this real young, like, Urkel guy who's really into cosplay. It's just, oh, it's such an amazing cast. It's, it's one of the more diverse casts that they've had in a while, and there's no just straight up morons in there. There's no just straight up idiots. Okay, but there is some kind of straight up weird noise going on. Hang on. Oh, it's Millie in the cat box. Who cares? So yeah. Oh, and of course, I have a crush on one of the cast members. His name is Kevin. He's 55 years old. He has 6 daughters and 1 son. He's a former model. He was Mr. Massachusetts in 1986. And his dad, a.k.a. the Big Cheese, was arrested in 2006 for cocaine distribution. So that's interesting. Uh-huh. Yep. Oh, Kevin, he's a beautiful man. He's got beautiful, haunting eyes. So yeah, I got sucked into Big Brother last night, and lo, now there's 2 episodes of Sanchez's that I'm gonna respond to. Look, I spent 15 minutes talking about laundry and what I'm gonna do. You're not welcome. Sorry. Okay, so Sanchez, I mean, I know you know your mom's accent is fucking adorable, and I hope this, like, really, like I'm not sounding like some patronizing cunt by saying that, but goddamn, your mom's accent is fucking adorable. Yes, I could, you know, I could see the possibility of being infuriated by her, but then also like, oh, how can you be so angry at Mamma Mia? With that accent. No, you can't. You know, I bet if she didn't have that accent, she wouldn't be able to get away with as much. That's all I'm saying. Fucking adorable. With her little wink, and then she's got her romantic old man that just wants her to touch her dink. So it's a whole winky dink world. Aw. And it was also like really interesting just hearing you talk about the Italian community there, because, like, you know, I don't have any kind of ethnic community or, you know, whatever, or family. So, like, is Winnipeg, like, is there a little Italy in Winnipeg? Is the community that large? Like, in New York, there is a little Italy and Chinatown, but I think Chinatown or something else has been spreading, and Little Italy in New York is really diminished over the years, like between the 80s when I first went there and now. Like here in Portland, there's like smaller different ethnic communities. There's like Ukrainian community, Russian community, Polish community, Chinese community, African-American community, Hispanic community. Why am I sitting here playing like ethnic Russian roulette? But yeah, it just sounds like. And is it because you have a lot of extended family there? Is that why it seems like there's a whole community there to me as an outsider? And really, it's just like a whole bunch of families that just all know each other and love each other and hang out together. Yeah, like is that 'cause. Because Portland is such a, like, you have, you know, families that have gone back generations here, like my friend Spike. But there's so many transplants here, obviously myself included, and so many of them, especially now, are, like, younger and single. So you just don't see, it just doesn't seem as obvious to me that there's, like, you know, extended families. Whereas in the South, I would maybe notice it a bit more. But again, the South on the East Coast, people like move around a lot. So I don't know where I'm going with that. But it's just, I don't know. Subcultures of all kinds fascinate me because it's interesting for me to see, like, okay, boom, here's this one or a few things that we all have in common as a given. But then from there, what the fuck do we really have in common with each other? And how does that manifest as we still maintain these common ties that help us feel more connected to something in an age where people don't really feel connected to much? Should I talk about laundry again? Okay. No, I won't. I'm going to talk about Stella for a second. Oh, I love Stella. She loves cheese. That is one of the things that I'm really worried about running out before tomorrow. Is my shredded cheese. And I know what you're saying. Hey, girl on a budget. what are you doing buying shredded cheese? Because here, it's actually usually cheaper per ounce than block cheese. So there you go. That's why I do it. Yeah, you can't. That's the number one reason I would never be able to be vegan, you know? It's like, forget being vegetarian. Like, I could be vegetarian. That's because I eat plenty of meals that have no meat whatsoever. I would still consider myself a vegetarian if I, you know, snuck some bacon like every 6 months or so. But vegan, getting rid of my cheese, yeah, no. No, 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 no. I'm convinced that's why I'm never going to break a hip. I'm going to go ahead and call it right now. Here on July, whatever the fuck day it is, 2017, 7th, I think. I'm not going to break a hip. Why? So much fucking cheese. And is she one of those little kids that says hi all the time to people? I'm just curious. If she is, look out, because I was too. Those are two things that we have in common. She's on a highway to hell, that Stella. Oh, I don't know. I'm mighty impressed with Stella. What can I say? But then again, I was, you know, mighty impressed with your son too. So maybe I just think you guys do a good job with kids. I don't know. That could be. And I also think what's going on that maybe you're not aware of there, Sanchez, I think there's a multi-generational fight club going on there in Winnipeg. Maybe just within your own family. I don't know. But maybe it's broader. You know, maybe it's grandmas versus Gerber babies. It's basically diapers versus diapers. Yeah, maybe you should look into that. And you, shaking my finger at you. Oh, good Lord. Millie is now clawing the bottom of my sofa. She's just like all stretched out, clawing, just laying on her side, clawing. Fucking little bitch. Goddamn cutie pie. Okay, so you were perplexed, understandably so, by the world of millennial online love, like with Brit and et cetera's. You know, it is very, very common. It's more normal than not normal. And did I mention that I met my ex-husband online? Like, that's how he became eventually my husband. We met online. He was in Brooklyn, and I was in Portland. And you know, I was in my late, no, I was in my 40s. I was going to say I was in my late 30s. But no, I was in my early 40s. Like, I think my 45th birthday was our first birthday together or something. I think that's when I saw the American Idol tour. That's right. That's right. I saw a fucking American Idol show live, motherfuckers. It was the year that bald guy who's now become a rock singer was there. Okay, I can't go down that path right now. But so here's the thing. I was active online socially and whatever, like through message boards, primarily through message boards, like through the zine community and then some through different band communities and punk music communities or whatever the fucks. Because, you know, that was like I had pen pals in high school. And so in the 90s, after getting held up at gunpoint and I bought a computer and taught myself computer skills and I built my own website and I taught myself HTML and all that. So I was, you know, an early adopter. And I was also the age that is considered a millennial age now. I was in my early 30s. So it became very, like back then it was ICQ was the one of the chat services. And that's kind of like partially how I ended up in Oregon in the first place was because of the internet, because I knew somebody that lived here. I knew a couple of people that lived in Oregon, one here in Portland and one down in Eugene. And so for me, being online social was a completely normal thing because I'd been doing it since I was 33, 32, 33-ish. Yeah, yeah. So, and the thing about being online back then is you really could be a lot more anonymous, and people really did strive to be anonymous, but also well-mannered. It was kind of crazy. It's like, oh, like we all know we don't want to put our identities out there because we all know the man is a piece of shit and we're already worried about the fact that there's cameras everywhere. Like we hadn't reached that point where, hey, let's put all the cameras on ourselves. Okay. Not going to go down that path either. Thank you. So it's weird. It may sound weird, but at 53, I can totally understand people doing that because it's something that I started doing 20 years ago. And then, like I said, that's how I met my ex 10 years ago. It's not something that I would ever do again, though. It's kind of funny, like I thought. Since moving out on my own and being alone and being worried about feeling too isolated and blah, 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 and I've complained about that a lot and blah, 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 that I would really become online a ton. I mean, because there's, Jesus Christ, in the 90s, I spent, I mean, fuck, my first website was called At My Desk, because that's where I felt happiest, was at my desk at home, on my computer, like, doing shit. And then from doing that, like, in a text format and visuals, like, I mean, I had artwork on my website and did interviews, and I scanned all this vintage stuff and whatever. From that, I then just switched straight over to photography. And so first I was on this thing called Photolog for a long time, and then that just started being crappy. And this new thing, Flickr, which like is now not so new, that came up. And that's what I really, it kind of hit perfectly with having access to a digital camera and being tired reading text and stuff. That's the this is funny. This is look how wrong a human being can be, especially me. In the 90s, I really couldn't understand why the fuck anybody would want to sit in front of their computer and read a lot of text. So I always tried to make my website really visual. There was still a lot of text involved because of interviews and such. But I just figured, like, man, if you're going to make somebody sit in front of a computer screen and read something or spend any more time in front of a computer screen than they have to, then you really need to justify that time. Turns out people love sitting in front of computer screens looking at just the worst fucking shit in the world. Yep. Boy, it's fun to see how wrong you can be about humanity. I guess you just want them to want better for themselves. Oh, that's cute. So then, yeah, I switched to the whole photo world, and I was really social there, kind of. Kind of made some friends there, reconnected with some old friends there, and that's, like I said, how I met my ex. But since being on my own, aside from Facebook, because that's how I keep in touch with friends that live around the world and around the country, I read Twitter because that's just like, oh, let me check Twitter to see what end of the world thing is happening. And I don't, like on Flickr, I barely look at anybody else's photos. I just kind of use it to put my own stuff up there and like, oh, it's nice if somebody likes it. Okay, whatever. Whereas before I used to like check like how many likes do I have? Like, it's like I've done all of that. And so now as it's everybody else is kind of like, I've got to be Instagram and like everybody's just super cracked out with technology. I probably seem like a near Luddite in comparison. I just don't really text very much. I don't message very much. Maybe it's just because, oh, I don't sit in front of a computer screen at a job anymore. So why the fuck would I want to do it otherwise? It's like, to me, checking On a good day, checking the internet only happens if I'm watching TV and I want something to do while I'm watching TV. But there are days, yes, with the world as it is, where I will sit out just as cracked with my phone, just checking Twitter constantly, wondering when the wolves are going to be right outside the door. Fucking wolves. And that being said, and knowing that Sanchez, as you've said yourself, you've also pulled very far away from social media. Congratulations on your tweet getting all that attention. I remember when that tweet happened, and I also remembered that show that mansplaining thing happened. And you know, here's something I was wondering. Did somebody reactivate his Facebook page in response to that tweet making it on BuzzFeed? I know. I'm sounding mysterious. Not really. Sanchez knows what I'm talking about. But yeah, I remember that episode vividly. And I can't remember if I discussed this with you in Messenger or if maybe I discussed it in a segment at some point, but I'll just go ahead and say straight out now, because I'm not a heterosexual male talking about female sexuality. I do still have a vagina. I have a humongous clit. I'm going to say that I probably have one of those sloppy looking vaginas that people go and get tightened up in surgery for, which freaks me out that we've gotten to a point where women hate the, okay, I'm just not, we've heard this from me before. I don't need to, okay. But I will lady-splain myself. I am a multiple O kind of girl. I'm the kind of girl that once I've hit it, I'm going to keep hitting it and hitting it and hitting it and hitting it and hitting it. Like, if you've made me come once and then the second time happens, then from there, it's just like, I'm going to keep going. Yes, men have been jealous of that ability. Yes, it can make me demanding because it's like, no, I'm sorry. 6 was not enough for me. I need to fall asleep after this. Let's go for 12. Yeah. I don't know if, and yeah, like I have never not come. I would not allow that to happen. Because why am I there otherwise? It takes two to tango, and we are doing more than tangoing in that situation, my friend. So yeah, I mean, I have had men who were less satisfying than others, but my goal was always achieved. They were interested in me making a touchdown. Look at me, sportsy talk. But it's just, you know, I would still end up getting rid of them anyway because they were just unsatisfying on so many other levels, you know. Yeah, so I know there are loads of women who just have a really hard time apexing at all. Let's call it apex instead of climax. There are some women that just physiologically or psychologically, it just is really difficult to happen, doesn't happen at all, rarely happens. It's like a shooting star. It's like a mythological creature. And there's tons of different reasons that play into that in terms of hormones, psychology, experience, blah, 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 blah. It's going to be different for each person. So it's not necessarily always going to be because the guy sucks. Or because the guy doesn't care. But that was the whole point of you asking the fucking questions to the lady, you know? It's like you were trying to find out, is it because the guy doesn't care? Is it because it just was like some wall on her side that just would kind of like drop down or something? Or was she just not communicating the fact that it was a swing and a miss, you know? And that's what you were trying to get into with until, man... Manny mansplain, flinging his balls around, just tapping them right there on your face. I'm very sorry about that. I will say this. I have had a lot of mansplaining of feminism. Yeah. 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 It's, so I just don't even... It's, you know, progressive men can be as mansplainy as much as any other man. And you can tell when some of them really are trying to be on the side of the sisters. But then there's others that you're like, yeah, you're progressive in name only. The more you're doing this, the more I'm seeing your face looks a tad green. Oh, it's Pepe. Oh, it's Pepe who's supporting Hillary Clinton. Oh, you're a creepy kind of special guy. But yeah, I've had men mansplain feminism to me since the 80s, I guess. Yeah. I mean, in the 70s, like, I broke up with a boyfriend because he's like, I signed some school letter, Ms. blah, 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 blah. You know, Ms. my name. And he's like, what's up with that Ms.? What are you, some, like, uppity feminist? And I'm like, yes, I am. Goodbye. Hi, I'm 14. Yes, I am. Goodbye. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I remember when that happened. And congratulations on the tweet. That is really awesome. You know, because it's kind of a perfect thing for you to tweet about and to be recognized for, because it's just, it's the lovely state of the world. And it's the lovely state of you. Okay, now I'm jumping ahead to the other episode where you talk about your eyebrows and your hair and your scales. That's right. You've got hair and scales. Is it weird that I've never gone in for any kind of hair treatment? I mean, I've had, like, my hair cut and colored, the hair on my head, but I've never had anything professionally done with my legs, my cooch, my face, my eyebrows. Is that weird? Maybe it's weird. Maybe I'm also very, very fortunate that, as far as I can tell, I don't have a hairy face. The hair that I have had has been kind of pale, but I don't, even at 53, I don't have any mustache yet. So I guess if there's some big let's make a deal, tilt-a-whirl kind of wheel of prizes and disasters, maybe I had like enough disasters in other areas that it's like, well, we can't also curse her with Andy Rooney eyebrows and Guido Sarducci facial hair, can we? No, we can't do that. We can make really old references that are outdated for everybody listening, but that's okay. Now, when I saw Janine Garofalo, she was quoting another woman in this joke who said this line, but I don't remember who it was, so I'm just going to say, as Janine Garofalo says about eyebrows, they're sisters, not twins. Because, you know, women get, like, really obsessed with having them look exactly alike, and that's how plucking disasters can happen. Because, yeah, I do actually pluck, although, seriously, sisters... I didn't start even plucking my eyebrows until my 30s. I just never fucking thought about it. I mean, and it's not like I didn't have some eyebrow hairs like above my nose. I'm sure maybe like I pulled them out with like my fingernails, but I didn't shape my actual eyebrows at all. I just was like, this is what they are. Do, 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 do. Where's my mascara and lipstick? Okay. So avoid plucking disasters because they're sisters, not twins. They don't have to look exactly alike. Mine don't look exactly alike. One of my eyebrows right now looks like it was infested by meth mites. Like, it's just, I don't know if I had like a bunch of ingrown hairs in my eyebrows. I don't know if it was like the sweat from my sunglasses. But my left eyebrow had 3 zits in it. And of course, you just keep scratching at them. And then somehow my forehead also broke out a little bit. Because of course, I'm 53 years old. I'm going to be 54 next month. Why wouldn't I have adult acne? It runs in my family. My great aunt had it. So there we go. My eyebrow. And of course, from picking at it, that's where it looks like I got all methy. But it looks like I was just bitten by a bunch of mites. And it's extra strange now because I also just recently dyed my hair. So I'm no longer, for the first time in over 2 years, I'm no longer a vivid shade of red or strawberry blonde or reddish blonde or pinkish red or whatever. I'm like the brunette family or like dark auburn family of hair right now, which means suddenly my eyebrows look super pale. Plus super zitty on one side, so I had to put like make them darker with like my mascara brush all dried off, so it's just like real subtle. Oh, I'm a failure of femininity, and I'm proud. And as for your scales, young lady, fuck scales, shove it under your bed. Don't do that to yourself. Do not fucking do that to yourself. The rest of the world is going to do plenty of things on a minute-by-minute basis to make you feel like shit about something. This is something that you can do to not make yourself feel like shit. Don't pile on to whatever else you is beyond your control. You can control that motherfucking thing by just not looking at it. You know if you're gaining weight, but if your clothes aren't fitting, if you're feeling like ass, blah, blah, blah. You can pull it out to like confirm that if that's what you need to do. But honestly, and again, I'm not the best. I'm no example. But I don't own a scale. At most, I've used my Wii scale, and I was using that because I was using my Wii in general to do like workout stuff. But now, cords and electricity and power grids, and it's been a real big change since I switched cable companies, internet companies. I don't know if cable, if internet. And so I don't use my Wii anymore, and so I don't weigh myself anymore. And even when I would use it sometimes just to check in, it was because I was like really losing weight. And so I just wanted to like, let me see how much like I'm losing. But now I know I'm not doing that. So why would I make myself feel even crappier? It's like, I already know that. I don't need to see that in the numbers. I can tell that in my clothes. I can tell that in how I feel. So this is what I'm doing to work on that. And I don't need some daily reminder of where the fuck I am. I just need to daily feel like I'm constantly working towards it. And then once you start noticing that, starting to feel a little bit better, like, these pants aren't as tight as they used to be. Is that right? Or did they just stretch out in the laundry? Let me now pull out my scale and check to see how much I weigh. That would be fine. But honestly, I would just get rid of the fucking scale. Again, I'm not one to lead by example, but if it makes you that miserable, look, and you might find something else to make yourself miserable with. I know I would. Look, let's talk about self-loathing, shall we? It sucks. It's like, yeah, being frustrated with your family, being frustrated with your job, being frustrated with your friends, all of that, that's an entirely separate basket from the self-loathing. Boy, do I understand that one so well. Again, don't let me be an example. But you know, since I have nothing to do and no one to focus on in my 24/7 time of solitude, responsibility-free lifestyle, or you could see it that way, maybe, I don't know. I've got that. I can just turn all of that just on me, in bad ways as well as good. And, you know, like I really noticed it lately because I don't, you know, so much of my energy before moving to Portland was consumed with rage and hatred towards living with my then husband. Because it was just so fucking awful. And my jobs were so fucking awful. So much of that energy went to that. And then here, I had like shitty neighbors after shitty neighbors. And so it went to that. All of my shitty neighbors are gone. I don't even use my camera anymore. I know, isn't that cool? And that's a pretty swell how do you do about my anxiety improving. You can't measure that on a fucking scale. Ooh, that startled me. That's my timer for the laundry. Shit. Okay, well, I'm gonna go see if my laundry actually dried in 75 minutes on high. I never like to put it on high because it's gonna tighten things up, and I already know that I'm gaining weight without a fucking scale because I can tell how things are already fitting and how I'm already feeling. And they were super soaked, so I had to put them on high, and I don't even know if this 75 minutes is going to do, and I don't know if I'm going to have enough quarters. That's the whole thing. I couldn't, like, just rewash the clothes in a functional washing machine because I don't have enough fucking quarters. That's just, ugh. Okay, so I don't know. Am I going to continue with the self-loathing when I get back from laundry? I'll pause, and we'll see when I get back. Okay, hang on. All right, 1 second. God damn it. My laundry is still wet. My t-shirt's still a little bit damp, if I'm being perfectly honest with you. Yep, still a little damp. Okay, so gonna spin it for another hour. Don't worry, I'm not gonna talk here for another hour. God damn it, I didn't mean to talk this long. I'm sorry, I'm gonna work really hard at talking faster. I'm just not there yet. I think it's just because I've got nothing but time to fill that I just can go real slow sometimes. So anyway, that self-hatred thing, yeah. I have a lot of self-hatred for you, for me, la 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 la. Yeah, it just, I mean, July 4th, I was just like a little weeping willow, and most of it was just because of me tearing myself apart. It's like I'll get into this mode of whatever I'm doing at any given time is wrong as far as I'm concerned, because all I can think is of everything else that I could or should be doing. There's this really great line by this band, No Means No, and it's like so many choices, all of them wrong, because that's how I feel. Like, I don't feel that way in this very moment because I meant to do this podcast yesterday and I'm doing it now finally, and I'm also doing laundry. So I'm feeling pretty good about what I'm doing right now in this very moment because I'm doing two productive things at once, which is rare. But what happens is like when I start cycling through that of like, well, like whatever I do is going to be wrong. And so when I'm doing it, I feel wrong for doing it, or I beat myself up afterwards. And so then I want to avoid that feeling. And so then what happens is I just shut down and don't do anything except pace or eat or sit on the sofa and cry. Now, sometimes I can be really good and just go, okay, this isn't the self-loathing hitting you. It's the depression and you're crying and it's what happens. And, you know, just go ahead and do some dishes while you cry. Like, I'm really good at doing chores while I'm crying because it's like, and don't get me wrong, I have major ass grooves and full body grooves in the sofa from just camping out there and crying. But I doing chores and crying is also something I've gotten good at. You know, and in the past, when I would be super depressed, which, like I said, either it's anxiety overload that'll spelunk straight into depression, or it's rage and self-loathing that I'm just turning inwards, and then I just, like, explode into a weep fest. So I would, like, go and look for external things to help deal with that, like distractions or people or whatever. And, you know, when you're fucked up, you're going to attract fucked up things and people or, you know, and but you'll accept it because, well, at least it's a distraction from I'm not on my sofa crying or doing the dishes crying. I'm hanging out with somebody else and we're arguing and that's better, right? Sure. So I see it as a huge accomplishment that, hey, at least I don't do that anymore. Like, I may be really bummed at times, but I don't take new bullshit in to try to feel better, if that makes sense. It doesn't. You know, and the thing about that boiling rage and or self-loathing is that it's fucking exhausting once that adrenaline has run its course. You know, like when you're all amped up, especially with the anger, it's just like, you know, like Johnny Rotten Knee Leiden says, anger is an energy. You know, let me sidetrack here for a little bit about old Johnny Rotten there. I was just flipping through the YouTube and little suggestions will come up sometime. And there was a recent interview with old Johnny there from May of 2017. And turns out he's just fine with Brexit because that's what the working class wanted. And he's of the working class. I don't see you as the working class anymore, Mr. Johnny. You were at one time, but I don't see you that way now, Mr. Celebrity, in your own way. Anyway, so he's A-okay with Brexit, and he also thinks, while Donald Trump might be a lot of other terrible things, he doesn't believe he's a racist. Okay, gonna disagree. But really, the main takeaway that I got from this interview with him from May or March of 2017, where he was like hyping some book of his lyrics, he's obviously had a lot of Botox in his forehead. He's got that shiny forehead of porcelain going on there. And it's just like, you fucking piece of shit. Oh, man. Vanity is a motherfucker. Okay, back to self-loathing. Yeah, it's really exhausting once it's done. And that whole, like, internal herky-jerky, just that turmoil of energy is like, ugh, it's fucking exhausting. I'm not really saying anything inspirational with that there, am I? Nope. Just to say that I know what it's like. I mean, we all know what it's like, but you're not alone in the self-loathing. I think most people hate themselves. I think it's hard not to hate ourselves when everything we see around us is better looking than we are, richer than we are, more accomplished than we are. You know, it's always more something than we are, even if it's full of shit. You know, the people who post nothing but happy on their Facebook page are probably the most miserable fucks in the world. They may be in denial. They may not be. They may just be like, no, I got it. I have to look like I'm the perfect Stepford wife. Mm-hmm. The more someone's smiling, the more suspicious I am of them, like, actually really being happy on any level. Boy, that's not a good way to end it. But you know what? That's where I am going to end it. Fuck it. I'm feeling accomplished because I've got my food stamps. Oh, crap. Somebody's sending me a message. How do I change that? Okay, there we go. Okay, all right. So, yeah. Yeah, there you go. I'm done. As usual, I'm ending on an anticlimactic note. I went hiking this week. Tuesday, I was crying a whole lot. I had been crying a lot pretty much since that whole stupid gif of Trump beating up CNN came out, because it's just like, my God, I already talked about that a little bit last time. I don't need to again. We all know what's going on, and it's all awful. And so, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. But then I kind of, you know, like after I did my boo-hoo, I started making plans because I knew I was going to be hanging out with my friend on Wednesday. And so I figured out some plans, and then I posted a bunch of songs about July 4th on Facebook and a bunch of pictures that I'd taken of the Stars and Stripes in various ways and means and formats around the country that I had shot. Anyway, Wednesday I went to the Tryon State Park with a friend of mine, which is just like, I don't know, it's like a really short drive, but it's something that I can't get to on the bus. And when you're out walking the trails, you don't hear any cars or anything. Like, you really do feel like you're actually in the woods for a city park. And it was really hilly, and some of it is so steep that they've put stairs in there. So it was a good workout for me. And just like more good conversation. I feel like I'm finally learning how to make adult friends and grow the friendships that I have. I know I've said that before, but I'm still taking stock of the fact that I'm doing it. And compartmentalizing and disassociating is kind of an interesting thing. Because sometimes it's super useful as a way of, like when I came home from my time with Kim, and I broke my summer hot weather rule and actually took a hot bubble bath knowing it would steam up the apartment. But my goodness, did I mention that there were steep hills and stairs and steep hills and, oh, my old lady knees. And so I'll sit there and we'll reflect back on the walk and the conversations and the stuff. And I guess it maybe it's that rule of improv where, like, you always want to be a yes and. And so I will go back through conversations and see, like, well, were there opportunities where I missed the chance to do that and maybe just cut the person off instead or closed it off, you know. Yeah. Sometimes I try to do self-reflection instead of self-loathing, you know, and sorry to cough there. And self-reflection is a lot better than seeing yourself reflected in the scales. That's right. I'm going to end with that. Get rid of your fucking scale, or just put it at your mom's house. No, because then you'll check it when you're checking her mom's numbers. That's part of the ritual, the numbers. Have Sarah hide it from you. Have her take it to work, to her office or something. I don't know. Give yourself a break from that. And then just focus on your habits. Don't focus on the fucking numbers. The numbers are just fucking numbers. They're not what matters. What matters is your habits. There we go. Oh, crap. I've got to wait another hour for my laundry. All I want to do is walk 3 blocks to get donuts. But you know what? The motherfucking donuts are good ones at the coffee shop, so they're $2 each. I ain't spending no $4 on 2 donuts. Nope, motherfuckers, I'm going to stick to my goal. My food stamps don't kick in until tomorrow, so I'm going to be hoboing it in the kitchen, and my goodness, my cupboards are motherfucking bare. I don't even have tomato sauce or noodles, because I ate that up too. It's rice and beans, and I'm running out of beans. So it might be a lot of peanut butter sandwiches. I've got some yogurts. I've got enough eggs for my breakfast today and for tomorrow. But I swear, I feel like I'm going to be like those housewives in whatever those grocery store giveaways were, where they like let you loose and you like however many groceries you can throw in your cart you within a certain amount of time you get for free. I'm going to feel like that tomorrow, even though I'm not getting them for free. I'm using my food stamp allowance. But still, it's like, oh my God, I actually get to get food. I know, it's going to be kind of exciting getting asparagus and kale tomorrow. Okay, well, you know, there we go. It's Friday. Have a good weekend. Okay, goodbye.